Good morning. It's good to see each and every one of you here this morning. Let's look to the Lord in prayer again. Father, we thank you for how you have been visiting upon us. We have encountered you in worship. We ask that you would continue to come. Meet us through the written word and the spoken word. May we not leave here the same, but may your word reap a harvest in each of our lives. Again, thank you for your presence. Continue to lavish yourself upon us. Abba, Father, I ask these things, and I ask them in your name and in your authority, Lord Jesus. And all in agreement said, amen. There's an old story about a preacher that came. He accepted a call to a church, and he came and he delivered his first message. And it was well received. And then the next week, he preached the very same message. And people began to, you know, gee, I wonder what's going on. And then the very next week, he preached the very same message. And the elders finally got together that week and had to sit down with the pastor and said, Pastor, what's going on? It's the same message. Don't you have any others? He said, well, I was waiting until you guys got the first one. It's going to feel a little bit like that this morning. Because last week, we covered the first part of the Lord's Prayer, actually disciples' prayer, as found in Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to just review a little bit, but then we're going to hit the last portion of it, so it's part two. And actually, next week, we're going to have a part three. I sought the Lord this week, and as I was sensing his presence, actually, he woke me up early Friday morning, and I came up here to the church and started trying to capture everything that he was revealing to me. And then it hit me that, wow, this isn't just one message, this is two messages. And so next week we're going to be continuing on the topic of prayer as well. Praying to our Father, it's just so important. Here at Buchanan Alliance Church, we love, grow, give, go. As we do that, we strive to be walking in intimacy with the Father. I believe that that is the key to all of life. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you cannot have intimacy with God. Jesus Christ died on the cross so that we could have a moment-by-moment intimacy with the Father, with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And that's what life is all about. And you don't have the abundant life unless you have Jesus like that. He came for that. We want to walk every day in intimacy with God, and we want to be inviting others to do the same. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you do not have the abundant life. It's not possible. You might go after things of this world, but I can promise you they're only temporary. They're only temporary. Nothing is perfect this side of heaven. Amen? Amen? Man, when I bought my first car, brand new car, never had a new car before, I almost despised that car because I had these expectations. It's a Toyota. It's going to run itself. It's going to do this. Oh, my goodness. I went to the dealer this week. They sent me this note. You know, we'll pay all this money for the car. Right. Zephaniah 3:17. If you know Jesus, this is for you. If you don't know him, it's not. But if you know Jesus, the Lord your God is with you. You're never alone. You are never alone. When you have Jesus abiding and the Holy Spirit abiding, you're never alone. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He not only loves you, he delights in you. Let's be honest. You don't even like yourself sometimes. Amen? He delights in you. And he knows everything about you. He still delights in you. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. When everything is going crazy, he will quiet you with his love. Anybody have one of those terrible, rotten, horrible, no good days this week? I helped my son move. My back still hurts. Even in the midst of that, he will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you're walking in intimacy with him, literally, he is rejoicing over you with singing. He takes that much delight in you. Now, this is for regular attendance, your visitor. Ignore this. But at the end of each sermon notes, you'll notice that there's an insert in your bulletin. If you're a visitor here, and if you get really bored and you like filling in blanks, this is for you. And for those of you that have to have every single blank filled, on the very back, upside down, and not quite backwards, but upside down are the answers to all the blanks. Because I know some of you have, you know, that just is so distracting. If you miss a blank or I don't get to a blank, they're all there. So if you want to take sermon notes, and at the end, there's table talk. And table talk is simply two or three questions for you to ask over lunch to take it further, whatever the Holy Spirit spoke to you about. So last week, for the regular attenders, if you did table talk, then turn to the person next to you and smile. If you did not do it, a frowny face. You got 2 seconds. Okay. We're going to be talking about prayer. Prayer is simple. Prayer is simply talking to God. That's all it is. Hey, how you doing, dude?
Good.
That's prayer right there. Only to God. That's all it is. It's that simple, but it's also a tremendous mystery. Because Scripture says, Jesus said, the Father knows what you need even before you ask. But then he goes on to say, ask. I'm telling you, every point of Scripture, I don't care where you look in Scripture, especially the New Testament, my understanding of it, it's all done because of intimacy. Because God loves to have intimacy with us. Why, if he already knows what he's going to give us, does he say ask? Because he wants to have intimacy. Just think about it. In the beginning, God knew how messed up Adam and Eve would make it and how messed up we make it. Why did he go ahead and still do it? Because he loves intimacy. He loves us. He loves that intimate relationship with us. Why did he send Jesus to die on the cross? So that we could have intimacy with him. Life is about intimacy. Prayer is a mystery. Followers of Jesus pray to our Father. Here's how it works. We pray to our Father in the name and authority of Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's the Godhead involved in prayer. So I'm praying to the Father in the authority of Jesus through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. It's the Trinity at work in prayer. And that's what we're looking at. There was a point in time where, how do we know how to pray? Next week, we're going to answer the question, what are we supposed to pray? But we're going to talk about how to pray again, and we already covered this part way last week. The disciples asked Jesus how to pray. John taught his disciples how to pray. Would you please teach us how to pray? We want to know how to pray to the Father, too. Would anyone here like to know how to pray to the Father? Everyone, please raise your hand. This is to keep you awake as well, okay? They said, please, John taught his disciples how to pray. We're not sure how to pray. Please teach us how to pray. And that's found in Luke chapter 11 and 1 following. We're going to look at in Matthew, because the disciples' prayer is given in different places. We're simply going to look at Matthew today, because most people know Matthew a little bit better than the other Gospels have it. So here's how it begins. And I'm just going to go through the prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, I said this last week, this is the repeat part. Some of our prayers are little more than shopping lists. Let's be really honest. Most of our prayers are so egocentric. It's about me and my family and my friends. And if all of my prayers were answered positively, would anyone else's family even be impacted by it? We heard Kelsey, she's following the call of God, so that her prayers are going to impact all kinds of people she didn't even know. Amen? But most of us, let's be honest, how many of us pray for God's safety more than we pray for his will to be done? Think about it. I mean, I have kids. I had kids. I used to take when my kids, we homeschooled them through 10th grade and then 10th, 11th, 12th, we took them to the high school. Every single day, I drove my kids to school and I prayed over them every day. And then the Holy Spirit convicted me. Are you just praying for their safety? Or are you praying for my will to be done in their lives? And I completely changed how I prayed. And every once in a while, I get to see Trevor's kids. And when I see them, because I'm usually coming back from a meeting and they're catching the bus, and I encourage them, sick them. Sick them. No, the Holy Spirit is in them. Yes, I want them to be safe, but more than their safety, I want God to so flow through them that literally the strongholds of the enemy are ripped apart. Because God is in them. Not praying for, oh, keep them safe. Don't let any harm. Don't. No, I started praying, Lord, use them and may your kingdom come through them. We're not playing defense. You can't win just playing defense. You got to go on offense sometimes. And so I started praying offensively. Here's another lie from the pit. This name it, claim it, wealth and prosperity gospel. I got one word for it. Not. And it's so popular today. It is. It fits our egocentric culture. It fits our me culture. If name it and claim it is true, why didn't the apostles do it? Every apostle was a martyr, except for John, and he died an old man, exiled. If it's true, why didn't Jesus call the 10,000 legions of angels to take him down off the cross? He didn't. In the garden, what did Jesus pray? Thy will, not my will. But in our culture, we've just been brainwashed into thinking it's all about us. It's all about us. It's all about my family. It is not about us. It is all about God. It's all about His will, not my will. You see, the biggest problem that we all have, and this is free. It's not in your notes. Every single one of us here want to play God. We really do. We want to play God. The problem is I don't make a very good God. Do you? We don't. That's why we need God in our lives. Because we don't make a good God. We don't have the whole picture. Jesus again. My Father, this is in the garden. He knows what He's facing. He knows I don't even watch the Passion because I know I'll get sick and probably throw up. I can't even think about it. I start getting sick. If I talk more about it, you might have to pick me up off the floor. And you think I'm exaggerating. Believe me, every nurse that's tried to take blood found out I was not exaggerating. Either lay me down or you're going to pick me up, one or the other. My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Your will be done. Your will be done. Your will be done. Or did Jesus pray, oh, keep me safe. Please keep me safe. Oh, keep me safe. Don't let anything bad happen to me. And again, you know, Paul in Philippians 3, I believe he's sharing his heart. He says, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. And then he says, and partake in the fellowship of Jesus' sufferings. How many of us are willing to partake in the sufferings of Jesus? Not in America. But in other places around the world, you know, if we were in China today and we'd be in a lot smaller place, you would be judging me by how many years I spent in prison. Because if I'm a pastor and I'm spent any time in prison, I'm not a real preacher. In fact, they're not afraid of communism. They're not afraid of torture. They fear more our materialism. And I've heard them say that to me. Chinese people that I've met over the years. His will be done. Now, this is a little bit different, but if you have your Bibles, we're going to be going to the Bible a lot today. Huh? We're going to do something a little different. Usually I put it up here for you, but I thought that I would have us, if you have an electronic Bible or a paper Bible, either one. But Matthew 16. I didn't even pre-mark it in here so that I have to turn with you guys. I'll be as slow as you will. Probably every lady in here will beat us, right, guys? Remember those sword drills? Man, I never want a sword drill. The ladies always want it. Matthew 16, beginning in verse 21. Here's the context. Right prior to this, Jesus asked the question, who do people say that I am? This is a major, major passage of Scripture. Who do people say? Oh, some say this, some say that. And then Peter says, you're the Christ. And then Jesus responds, upon this rock I will build my church. A major, and then he says, you know, God revealed this to you, Peter. So Peter's feeling really good, okay? It never lasts real long for Peter. Verse 21, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Can I say put that in your smoke, your pipe and smoke it here?
Yes.
Jesus, he wasn't really upset, was he? Good Googa Mooga. Get thee behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You don't have the things of God in mind. You have the things of man. Because what did Peter think? The Messiah came. He's going to kick butt with the Romans, and we're going to be brought back to where we were, and we're going to rule the earth, and we're going to have all this great stuff happen. Think about your prayers. Think about our prayers, my prayers. What do we ask for? God, kick their butt, do this, do that, so that I can be. Are you with me? I'm meddling now, in case you're wondering, okay? But this is what the Holy Spirit convicted me of, so I'm just sharing the wealth. Look at what we have done to prayer. How did Jesus respond to Peter when he decided, Peter, no, not that. We got to do it our way. We want to do it. No, Jesus, we want to protect you. You don't want to go to that cross. You don't want to do that. That's not our plans. Get thee behind me, Satan. Okay, now to the good stuff. Are you with me? Do you see the parallel? If you don't, please talk to me afterward, because it's there. That was about following God's will to the cross. And are we following God's will with reference to prayer? Or are we using prayer to get what we want? Because we have in our mind the things of men, not the things of God. There is no difference. God is not Santa Claus. Amen? Okay, now the good stuff. We are told, Jesus in his prayer, give us today our daily bread. It's not wrong to ask God to give us daily bread. It's not wrong to ask God to bless us, especially with his presence. Literally. There's literally and figuratively. Now, this is not in your notes. So here we go. Turn again. Matthew 6, same passage. Actually, just a couple back. The same passage as the Lord's Prayer. Turn back in Matthew chapter 6. I got to put my eyes back on again here. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not how much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Will God provide for us? What color is the lettering in your Bible there? Who said it? Now, all scripture is even, but Jesus said this. Think he was just kidding? Spiritually, what do we mean? Give us this day our daily bread. I love this passage, and I'm not going to turn to it, but let me just bring it to remembrance. This is John chapter 4, the woman at the well. Remember, they're going through Samaria. They stop at the well, and there's a woman there about noontime, and she's getting water, and she's out there at noon because she is a woman of ill repute, and no one goes out there at noon. The only people that play golf at noon are people that want the discount. The only people that get water at noon are people that don't want to see anyone else, or they're not permitted to go there when everyone else is there. So here's this woman at the well. The disciples go and get bread. They need to get bread to eat. And so Jesus initiates the conversation with this woman. He knows all about her. He knows that she's a woman of ill repute. She's a prostitute. She's had five husbands, and the one she's with is not her husband. Living together. Does God condone living together? Everyone please say no. What was that? And you might say, well, we're living together, we're married. Was it true of that instance? The one you have now is not your husband. So Jesus talks to this lady, the Samaritan woman. The disciples come back with their food. And they're trying to get Jesus' attention away from his ministering to this lady. The lady actually goes and tells the whole city. The whole city comes out. Jesus spends two more days. And who knows how many hundreds of people put their faith in Jesus because of this. But the disciples say, Jesus, here's some food. Here's some food. And what does Jesus say? My food is to do the will of the one who sent me. You want to get fat spiritually? We all have food to do the will of the one who sent me. And how can we possibly know what that will is? How will our sister know what that will is? By seeking the Lord and spending time with him, and he will reveal his will. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. I know the plans I have for you, plans to bless you and prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope in the future. From Jeremiah, he says that. But how will we know that? Because we turn to him. Dear brothers and sisters, how worried are we about? I mean, I went and looked at a car this week, actually a truck. And then I'm like, I don't need a truck. I already have a truck. It's an old piece of junk, but it gets the job done. She loves her gas. 11 miles to a gallon, she likes her gas. And you could blow half a tank, it might just stop on you. So it likes her gas in more than one way. But what do I need with a new truck? While I was there, the Lord just, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? So I left. This one's even tougher. This issue is so huge. It is one of the major issues that I believe is throughout every church I've ever been a part of. And every church that I've had the privilege of serving. And that was a whole bunch of churches in my last position. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. What does that say? You know, every time we say the Lord's Prayer, in essence, we are saying, Father, only forgive me to the degree that I've forgiven everyone else. Only forgive me to the degree that I have forgiven everyone else. Every time we pray that. Enough meddling yet? We're not done. This is huge. I'm telling you, this is huge. If you've got people that there's unforgiveness in your heart, guess what? And I don't know the implication. I honestly don't know. I almost don't want to know. But can we all agree that it's not good if God doesn't forgive? I don't want to be there. Forgive as I have forgiven others. And you might think, oh, you're taking that out of context. Here, these are worth looking at. So, Bibles again, electronic or paper, doesn't matter which one. So, at the end of the Lord's Prayer, at the end of this prayer, just in case we didn't get it, just in case, oh, Jesus, he must have just been overemphasizing. He must just been whatever. Okay? At the end of the Lord's Prayer, verse 14 and 15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Is that pretty plain? Okay, let's look at Matthew 18. Just a little bit over Matthew 18, verse 35. Now let me give you the context here, because context is always important. Here's the context. Jesus tells his disciples, you need to forgive people. And Peter, faithful Peter, no one else will say anything, but Peter does. So Lord, do I have to forgive someone seven times in one day? And the Lord says, no, you need to forgive him even more than that. And then he tells the story. He tells the story of the unjust guy. So this guy owes millions to the king. He goes to the king, please have mercy on me, I'll pay it back. And the king forgives him. And then he goes and finds someone that owes him a couple hundred bucks. And the guy says the same thing, please have mercy on me, I'll pay you back. And he will not do it. He throws him into prison. And then people tell the king what happened. And the king is just delighted. Amen? No. He throws him into jail. And then verse 35, just in case we miss it at the close of this parable, verse 35, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you. Now notice, it's no longer our heavenly Father. This is how my Father is going to treat you. Is Jesus serious? I'm not pointing at Jerry. I'm not pointing at Jerry. Okay, do you see the change? Do you see how serious he is? This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from the heart. How many times someone has offended you and you just say, oh, that's okay, don't worry about it. And then you walk away and you're still wounded and you're still hurting and you're still angry. I don't worry about it. No blood, no foul. No blood, no foul. That's what I'll usually say. No blood, no foul. Have I forgiven that person from the heart? Probably not. Probably not. The Holy Spirit took me to a place where I need to journal this. I need to take it and make it as though it never happened. I will write pages about how unfair it is, how much it hurt, how wrong it was. We've talked about this before. I will forgive them. I will ask the Father in heaven to forgive them, and then I'll ask the Father in heaven to bless them. And I personally believe that is forgiving from the heart. So that literally, I can go up to that person and say, how you doing, dude? Now, Jeff is fixing my teeth every time. I don't need, he's amazing. If you need a dentist, we got a great one, okay? That's a freebie, dude. You're going to get a lot of phone calls tomorrow, dude. So I got nothing between Jeff. I'm just using that example. So that when I meet that person, there's nothing there. It's as though it never happened. Because the Holy Spirit has empowered me and led me to completely forgive from the heart as though it never happened. And the person brings it up, what are you talking about? That's under the blood. Maybe the person might need to tell you, and by the way, does that person never have to apologize to me? No. From the cross, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. The chuckleheads, they don't know what they're doing. Now, I added the chucklehead, but they don't know what they're doing. The people that have hurt you, some intentionally hurt you, and some do it by accident. Either way, we can forgive. And why can we forgive? Because we've been forgiven so much. My goodness. We need to keep on going. I could keep on going on that. Hey, two more passages, Ephesians 4. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, in case you're wondering. After Romans, after 1st, 2nd Corinthians, then you get Galatians, then Ephesians. Galatians chapter 4, verse 32. I'm finally there, so you had lots of time to get there. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ, God forgave you. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ, God forgave you. Why do I have to forgive others? Because I've been forgiven. Why should I? Because I have. How can I not forgive you when I've been forgiven so much? We're right back to the parable. And now Colossians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other. Easy to read, isn't it? Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. One more time. Bear with each other. It's not easy, is it? Some of us are idiots. Amen? I am. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And that's ultimately the bottom dollar. We have been forgiven so much. How dare we not extend that forgiveness to others, no matter what they've done? I've heard it all. I've already turned one cheek. How many cheeks am I supposed to turn? 70 times 7 in one day. That's a lot. That's kind of like a toddler. That's supposed to be funny, people. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. What happened to Jesus? Jesus was baptized with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus was led by who? The Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Is it possible that the Holy Spirit might lead us into temptation? Everyone please nod your head. Did it happen to Jesus? You might think, well, it only happened to Jesus. Hey, what about Job? And I have turned to Job here, but we're not going to turn to Job. Let me tell you the story of Job. So here all the angels are presenting themselves to God in the book of Job. And God says to Satan, and Satan is part one of the angels, so he's presenting himself to God too. And God says, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan says, oh, you have so much protection around him. You know, if that's removed and he's afflicted, he will curse you. Well, go for it. It's horrible to think that God might say that, amen? But sometimes he says, it's okay. So then we go to earth. His children are all taken away. He has nothing. But he has not cursed God yet. Then we go back into heaven another time. And have you considered my servant Job? He's a righteous man. You know who might be led into temptation? Righteous people. If these two examples are true, and they are, maybe it is an honor to be led into temptation and withstand the temptation to show Satan what a mere human can do that he could not do. I believe that God used Job. You know when your dog does something on the floor, on your carpet, and you rub his nose in it? You guys aren't mean like me, huh? That's the way I train my dogs in the house. You do it, you're going to smell it. You're going to breathe it. I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe it. I believe that God allowed this all to happen because Satan could not submit to God, and Job was able to, and God knew that he would. And so God rubbed Satan's nose in Job's righteousness. And God may choose to rub his nose in our righteousness. And by the way, the only way we can stand firm is if the Holy Spirit is filling us moment by moment. I am convinced that apart from the work of the Holy Spirit in my life, if I'm in the wrong place at the wrong time, chances are Jeff will do the wrong thing. Wrong place, wrong time, apart from the Holy Spirit, Jeff will probably do the wrong thing. He'll be out there looking at trucks, thinking, man, that nice truck. Amen? But with the Holy Spirit indwelling us, he is greater than the enemy. And let's just pick another guy, Peter. And here's the passage, Luke 2. Simon, Simon, this is in the midst of all, this is the very end of Jesus' life. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, so that your faith may not fail. And when you turn back, strengthen your brothers. So Simon, after you fall flat on your nose, get up and strengthen the brothers. I'm praying for you. Now, are we going to pray? Lead us not into temptation, knowing that it could be that. Or are we going to keep praying, oh, please keep me safe. Oh, please protect my children. Don't let anything happen. Please, 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 please. Or are we going to be the warriors of God that he's called us to be? More than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And so when I see Trevor's daughters getting ready to go to school, I simply say, sick them. Because greater is he that's in them than he that's in the world. And that's why we've been sent here. To be more than conquerors. Amen. And then in James, quickly, and I've missed my time slot here because I'm longer than 40 minutes now. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Blessed is the individual who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God promised to those who love him. Who here wants a crown of life? I do. Even if it's the wrong motive, I want one because I want to give it to him. There's only one way that I'm going to make this body stronger, and that's by exercising it. Spiritually, there is one way. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. The only way we're going to grow stronger is through trials and difficulties, so that our faith is tested. It can't happen in a vacuum. You can pray all you want. Give me greater faith. Give me greater faith. I can promise you the only way your faith is going to grow stronger is in the midst of difficulties. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Now get this. Each one is tempted when by his own evil desire is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full blown, gives birth to death. This is not in your notes. Adam and Eve. Down deep inside, what did Adam and Eve want? They wanted to be like God. And Satan tempted them, and they gave in to it. So this morning, I know the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, or at least some of us, because I believe this was his message. Did the Holy Spirit nudge you about daily bread and what you've been asking for? About forgiveness. Maybe as we were talking about forgiveness, the Holy Spirit brought someone to your mind, or maybe about temptation. I'm not sure. But what has the Holy Spirit nudged you about this morning? And that's what I'm going to pray, just that the Holy Spirit continues to nudge you and speak to you. If you have not heard the Holy Spirit, something is wrong. And you may blame it on me, but I've sat under some horrible preachers, and God still spoke, because God isn't dependent on the preacher. He's not limited by my ability. We've read the scriptures. If you have not heard something from the Lord, something is broken in your life. Jesus didn't come and die on the cross so that you would not have intimacy with him. He did that so that you would. And so as I pray, I'm just going to pray, Holy Spirit, please keep nudging us. However, I don't know what he wants to nudge you in. I don't know what he wants. He may take one word that was spoken this morning and he took you in a totally different tangent. Amen, praise the Lord. Amen, praise the Lord. Because it's all about him. And he loves you so much that he's going to speak to each one of us however he chooses, regardless of the message. Because he's not dependent upon me. Boy, would we be in deep weeds if he was. Amen? Let us pray. Oh, Abba, Father, your Spirit has fallen powerfully upon us. Holy Spirit, we welcomed you from the very beginning. You were here in the worship. You inhabit the praise of your people. And I believe you were here during your message, both the written word and the spoken word, and you're here now. Holy Spirit, please continue to speak, continue to reveal, continue to convict. Please. You love us too much to leave us the same. You love me too much to leave me the same. You've been convicting me all week with this message, and I thank you for it. And I ask that you would empower each one of us to respond to your leading, however that is, however you have done it, to simply say yes to you and to simply follow your nudging, your leading, your speaking. Please continue your work however you choose in each one of us. Even as we sing this closing song, Holy Spirit, you're not limited by that. Please continue. Cause your will to take place in my life and in our lives. I look forward with anticipation to what you are going to continue to do. Abba, Father, I pray this boldly. And I pray it in the absolute authority of you, precious Lord Jesus Christ. In your name I pray, Lord Jesus.